You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
At a time when movies are delayed and everything is being rebooted, a group of heroes is about to shake up the status quo. This year, get ready. Your favorite one and done films are getting a sequel. No movie is safe.
Hold on. No! I've told you before, not all movies are safe. If it's had a sequel, I told you we're not doing it.
Yeah, alright. Okay.
Fan critical.
Yeah, and none of this fucking prequel bollocks either. Yeah, so... Yes.
Yeah, alright, Jesus. God, okay. Anyway.
Fan Critical presents Not All Sequels Are Created Equal. Coming to all podcast platforms right now.
Hello, and welcome to Fan Critical. And today, of course, we are returning to our new favourite show, a fan favourite, some could say. In fact, you fans have been saying. Fans, I shouldn't say fans, listeners fan. Have been saying that Listener. This is the best show since 60 Minutes to Midnight. So whatever, don't worry about it.
Who have you paid for that review?
Yeah, Gaz left his own review up there. But
I'll stand by it.
Not all sequels are created equal is what we're here for. A showdown of great minds. The great minds within this podcast. So far, we have had Titanic battles. Titanic 2, that's a good idea, actually.
wow, it worked.
Write that one down. Everyone, write that one down.
From the man who brought you E.T. 2.
Yeah. Sequel no one wanted.
I told you, I loved James Cameron.
Jack is back. Is that a zombie? And he would be the one that caused COVID.
Yeah.
God.
Oh, save John, this is gold.
Sorry, yeah. No, I'll save that. Yeah.
That is gold. Okay, guys. We've had the struggles. We have had Lucy versus John, which Lucy pitched a sequel to Sound of Music called The Hills Are Alive with the Sound of Eyes. Working title. We all agree the title needs a lot of work. And that was against John's Girl on Fire, a sequel to the Denzel Washington smash hit Man on Fire. Lucy did take that one if she agreed to change the title of her film. Then the next edition of the podcast, had Len versus Gareth. Mm. And Gareth pitched a very boring, very predictable sequel to a film that I had never seen, Princess Bride. The Princess Bride. He pitched Princess Bride 2, imaginative name. And I pitched E.T. 2.
Imaginative name.
It was called
Retribution or some
Retribution.
Garbage.
Yes, it was called E.T. 2 Retribution. And it was a science fiction sort of horror.
It was basically War of the Worlds, but you called it E.T. 2.
Yeah, that's right. It was basically War of the Worlds. But at the end, instead of it being a little robot that turns up, it was actually E.T. So that was a massive cliffhanger.
Take
it was
my part hand. Of a trilogy.
Unfortunately, that didn't go down too well with the studio heads. And somehow, Princess Bride 2 got pitched.
3-0.
It got greenlit.
3-0 victory.
It went to the cinema and it flopped like a piece of shit. So
cult classic now.
They've learned their lesson.
Cult classic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Maybe in 30 years' time it's a cult classic. So that's the state of affairs. There is a leaderboard, and at the moment, at the top of it is Lucy and Gareth, the two unlikely ones at the top of the leaderboard, but they're there.
And that's what's great about this.
Let's specify as well. at the top of the leaderboard is me, because there's goal difference involved in this. And I'm
no,
I
we're not
3-0.
Doing goal difference. Goal difference is stupid.
I don't think we ever agreed to goal difference. So this week we return with another duel for the ages. And of course it is the female section of the podcast, the ladies, Emma versus Lucy. Now, what will this be? Nobody knows. I'm very excited. We even sent a little message this morning. John woke up at like 6 a.m., sent a message going, oh, can't wait to see what you guys are going to pitch.
Yeah.
And I was like,
yeah, not in that
very
tone.
Interesting.
A
I
lot
can
of
also
pressure.
Not wait. What was the tone, John? Can you do your tone for me, for the listeners?
I thought it was
quite vaguely threatening. Like,
need my
can't
script.
Wait to see what you do.
I've got to be honest. Yeah. When the message came through and I saw that John had messaged, I presumed he was pulling out of the pod.
Yeah, and in a way, I am.
Live.
To be fair, I did end with an ellipsis.
That's why I thought it was a threat.
Yeah.
I said, yeah. Excited to see what films you've crafted for us today, is what I said.
I felt very threatened by that.
Nice,
to be honest.
Nice time.
Yeah. But it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, anyway, I can't wait.
Inverted commas.
So, if you haven't guessed already, the whole gang is here. Say hello, gang. I'm not going to do
hello,
it.
Hello, gang.
Hello, gang.
Lucy, Gaz, John. Yes, very well. And myself, Len, the host. Yes, so quickly, just before we begin and get into the pitches.
Get into the bitches, did
Emma,
you say?
No, definitely didn't say that. Definitely didn't say that. Emma, are you excited about today's
I'm
pitch?
I'm very excited.
Give me your overall... Yeah, you're excited, are you? Yeah. That's good.
Honestly.
I'm excited and I'm anxious for a number of reasons. One, because I feel like John might set me on fire if I don't do well. And I'm technically anxious. Technologically anxious.
Okay, good. Mm. Yes, that's fine. That's understandable. slight technical hiccups here at Fan Critical HQ. And Lucy... You're a reigning champion in a way. The last time you stepped into this arena, you not only came out of it with a film, but with a multi-million-dollar deal.
Yeah.
So I want to know, are you ready to do this again?
I think it's quite a lot of pressure. And I know there's people gunning for me as well. And that will maybe... they might try and use, play some type of game with their votes. But... I can only do what I can do. I have got a horrible dry cough, which is also making me like not feel my best. But we move. We go again. I'll do what I can.
The show must go on.
Must.
The show
it simply must
go on. And you love Moulin Rouge. So
I actually rewatched
it. Moulin Rouge 2.
And it's
is that
quite
be
an assault
film?
On the senses. Not in a good way. But no, it's not.
It really is.
It's not that.
Okay, good. My fellow judges today are Gareth and John. I am concerned that you two aren't going to take this seriously. Can you allay some fears? Well, I just think there's been some bullying that's happened on this podcast, especially you to me, John.
Oh,
and
my
I found
word.
It very
I didn't like
upsetting
your
film. In the
what
last
do you want me to
episode.
Do?
HR.
And he said he doesn't like you.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah. No, the film was fine.
Yeah. Imagine if we had a HR department. That would be interesting, wouldn't it?
I'd leave immediately.
You'd lose your job immediately.
The complaint to me.
That comment about bitches earlier. You'd be sacked on the spot. Yeah.
Misheard. Yeah. So
correct. That's what they all say. They all say that. Oh, I was misheard. I was misunderstood.
I misspoke.
Allegations.
Anyway, I'm here. Right. I'm taking this very seriously because it's very important to me that Lucy doesn't take the lead.
This is what I mean.
Definitely be voting for Emma.
It's a long season, though. Okay.
Unbelievable.
So you think you might be playing your games now, but you never know what will happen.
I'll vote for the best film. Don't worry. I only ever play the ball, not the player.
I tell you why I'm looking forward to this week. Because the last one that we did, I was nervous that Len was going to come up with a film that I was like, it's really obvious that he's come up with a quality film and I'm voting against him anyway. But thankfully that didn't happen. His film was terrible. So this week there's literally no pressure. It's like, let's see what our lovely women, our lovely ladies, what they can come up with.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes. Stop sounding like Weinstein over there.
Let's see.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Other than bitches. Anyway.
Yeah. Okay.
Bitches got pictures.
Oh, hello.
That's the production That's company right
That's
there.
That's a very good name.
That's an original film rather than a sequel. Oh. So you've immediately lost.
Now, as is tradition, I have flipped a coin behind the scenes and nominated who is going first. I'm lying. I'm just going to say, Emma, you're going first. So the way this is going to work is, Emma, you're going to have as much time as you like to pitch. Don't listen to John. If he's heckling you throughout the pitch, that's perfectly normal. He's got a very short attention span. Anything over 5 minutes will annoy him.
I won't be that long.
That is a fact.
Yeah, that would annoy me as
well. She's yawning already. Well,
thank God.
Jesus Christ. You want our money? This... Yeah, Lucy, I think you got this one in the bag. Now, Emma, feel free to, you know, ham it up, dramatise it any way you want. If you can remember last week, you know, I absolutely smashed it with my pitch in terms of production value. So, a lot to live up to.
I mean, you lost 3-0.
Production value was there. So,
if you remember my pitch, Emma, it was highly detailed, and there were even character voices that were included. There were. So. Do you think about that?
Let's hear from Emma.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jesus.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's not all about you guys. Today, it's all about Lucy and I. So I shall take the floor. Mm-hmm. Today, I am pitching to you a sequel to a much-loved early Pixar animation. We're going back to the anthill, onto the mound... with Flick for A Bug's Life 2.
Oh.
So having finally gotten the grasshoppers under control and the new queen and princess, there is another threat coming to Flick and his friends. And this time it's a collection of quite sassy, a little bit violent fire ants. And they want to take over. Ooh. They are led by the big bad Manuel, the head fire ant, who is played by Dwayne Johnson. And he will be, during the course of the film, producing an original song for the movie. Flick has a new friend. He's going to help him along the way. So the circus trooper back. All of our favourites, but they've got a new friend in there.
Is Niles from Frasier still in it? Sorry, but
yeah, but you'll be pleased to know that Kevin Spacey has been recast.
Why?
Just to keep everyone happy, because he might not be Kids a great film. Person, and it is for children. So you know.
Kevin Spacey's not happy.
No, yeah, well, you know, that's his own fault, isn't it? so Flick's new sidekick. Is played by Ryan Reynolds because he's funny, and I've watched him in a lot of things recently, and I thought that he would be amusing. And he is a stick insect, so he's very good at camouflage. Anyway, so sum of all is that the fire ants try and take over, but the day is saved by Flick and his circus troupe and all of his new friends. The fire ants are sent running back. Their leader, evil Manuel, will not take over, and everyone lives happily ever after. The end. Welcome to A Bug's Life 2.
Very short and succinct, yep. Emma.
Please ask me questions.
I've got lots of questions. Number one, at the end of Bug's Life, Flick is romantically involved with the princess, soon to be queen. Of the ants, can't remember her name. Sorry about that. What's happened to their relationship? Will that be explored in this movie?
They are still romantically entwined, and they've got 300 yep. lovely children. only three of them are really important to the film. And she is now queen, but Flick is still, you know, a little bit too cool, and goes off.
Only 300, not scientifically accurate.
Well, I don't, this is for children, Gareth. I don't think it needs to be, does it? It's a movie.
Oh, right. So we should teach our children incorrect science, should we?
How many children should they have, Gareth?
No idea.
Well, if you don't know the answer, then, okay, 300 million children. They've got 300 million children, but because that's a lot, we're only going to have three of them in the film. The rest of them are just around and about.
Dead.
I'm envisioning a sort of scene at the end of Aliens when they see the queen and she's just popping out these eggs with her giant larval tube.
This is for children.
Are we going to see anything like that in this movie?
It's going to be adorable because it's animation and they're all running around in, like, you know, tiny little diapers, looking very sweet and all very alike. And it's very difficult to know diapers. Which child is who.
Educational, though, isn't it?
Yeah. But no.
Go on.
No,
there's not going to be any birthing scenes, and I don't think it needs to be scientifically accurate because this movie is meant to be fun. You know, it's 30 years on from A Bug's Life, and they thought they were safe and happy with their 300 million
30,
children.
Wow.
How are they still alive? How are they still alive?
They're a bit older now, aren't they?
Yeah, only a little bit older.
Yeah, 30 years.
Right, I must confess, and I have seen A Bug's Life, but it's been such a long time since I saw it. I can sort of, the only sort of thing I remember is like the fat caterpillar fella.
Oh,
German.
I'm a beautiful butterfly.
Who plays the caterpillar?
I can't remember. Who does play the caterpillar?
I think it's one of the animators does the voice. I can't remember who.
It is an animation, yeah.
No, but one of the animators does it.
We can confirm.
Like in Finding Nemo, one of the animators does the...
rather than an actor.
Does the turtle's voice, yeah.
I didn't know that, Lucy. Okay.
Yeah,
well,
nice.
Well, you know.
All right, well, that'd help her out. So soundtrack. What's the soundtrack? Are we going for something a little bit more...
So I'm envisaging, you know, something...
Grime?
Thrash metal. I'm envisaging something that, you know, will stick in your head. I feel a little bit like the vibe of Moana-type soundtrack. So it's a bit fun.
Is this because The Rock's in it?
Huh?
Is this because The Rock's in it, Dwayne Johnson?
Lin-Manuel Miranda, cool.
Yes.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know
why I'm helping you again, but, you know.
Yeah, what's going on
here? I would really like him to be
involved.
Just get involved.
I just like that music.
I would really like him to be involved, but I didn't want to push my luck with my scarce pitch on A Bug's Life 2. But I'm thinking musical, and I'm thinking some kind of fun songs that move the plot along that children will sing to their parents constantly. Until they go insane. Something fun and jaunty. Maybe a track in there by Bruno Mars. Something like that.
Yeah.
That's what them kids like, isn't it? Bruno Mars.
I've literally just said that. Like, what do the kids like these days? The Bruno Mars.
Yeah. I find this interesting because A Bug's Life wasn't musical
at all.
No, but
it will be now.
So this is going completely...
It will be now. Because I feel that we've moved into a world where it's exciting. And then, of course, you get a nice little set piece with the circus troupe come back and they do a little song and some circus tricks and things.
Are there any of the grasshoppers returning in this? Obviously, Hopper doesn't return because, of course, he gets eaten by a bird. We all know that. But do the other grasshoppers return?
No grasshoppers. You know? This is all just about fire ants.
Interesting. So, I thought some of the grasshoppers could have, like, you know, be friends maybe with
the ants after that
whole war that they had, you know?
No.
Okay.
No.
Interesting.
But, of course, Flit does like to make inventions, so there will be some fun inventions. I envisage the movie opening.
Go on.
I haven't thought of any yet. I envisage the movie opening with, you know, him tinkering away, making something fun, and his 300 million children running around being annoying. And obviously that one of his inventions will be the thing that saves them from the fire ants led by Manuel.
Uh-huh.
The evil fire ant king.
And
a hand grenade. How's he made that? He's only a little ant.
That's so big.
I have a question.
A little ant.
Okay, so obviously we're a studio and that. Important exec, definitely. All interested about money. So is there room for product placement? So let's say, you know, one of them's made a little home out of like an old Nokia or something. Something for their parents.
Coke can.
You know, I'm sitting there going,
Coke can.
Yeah, Michelle, look, they've got a Nokia on there. That's mad, isn't it? Remember Nokia?
Oh, let's buy a 3210.
Obviously not Nokia because they've got no money to give us. But, you know, potentially, you know.
No, I don't feel like the children need to be have products placed in their faces. I think it should just be.
We do though.
I don't think you're going to need it. You're not going to need it because what you're going to have is people of our generation who loved A Bug's Life are going to go and want to go and see this in the cinema or pay £20 on Disney Plus. I'm thinking. Straight to Disney Plus release, and they'll watch it for nostalgia with their children who will want to watch it all of the time because it's going to be great fun. And it's going to have songs.
Straight to Disney Plus. I don't want another Scarlett Johansson situation on my hands. What if Flick's coming back and Dwayne Rock Johnson's like, hey, you said this was going in cinemas.
Oh, right? No, but you see...
And you've only put it on Disney Plus.
Dwayne is happy with going straight to Disney Plus, but after is the he? Success of Jungle Cruise.
He's all about the money.
So, and he knows the right way to get his audience.
I don't think he did Jungle Cruise because of its artistic merit. I suspect a film that is based on a theme park ride is all about the money. I'd assume that might be incorrect. I have one last question. Obviously, we're a studio. We don't give a shit about the environment, but it might be good for us to kind of pretend that we care. So is there going to be anything about like global warming touched on that affects the little insects and stuff? Maybe like...
Good question.
Maybe we lose one of our original characters to plastic. That'd be mad, wouldn't it?
Get stuck in some of those beer can rings,
Maybe even the caterpillar. Ants. Yes. Maybe even the caterpillar because he's so big and fat.
Yeah. This isn't a horror film. This is for children.
And in the background, the queen's birthing eggs just with its giant lava
How
sack.
Have you shat all over A Bug's Life 2 like this?
Well, I think that was global warming that did that, so...
So I don't think we'll address...
Recycle.
We won't address global warming specifically, but we will be addressing recycling. So all of Flick's inventions are made out of using recycled human
Well,
stuff.
Hold on, because now I have an issue with that. I
Why?
Have a concern. Because if the hero of this film is making stuff because people have thrown it away and now the bugs can access it, isn't that going to encourage kids just to throw it away? I'm going to go and put this can out in the garden. So
there'll be an educational song about how people shouldn't do it. But if
I thought this wasn't education. I thought we were teaching them that they had 300 ant babies.
There will be one educational song about recycling that will explain that although people shouldn't throw things away because it is bad for the environment, what you can do as an individual ant or child is to reuse things correctly so as to avoid what happened to the caterpillar.
How does that song go?
Recycle, recycle, don't recycle. Throw things away because people get cut in half. Recycle. Yeah. That's how it goes.
Okay. Yeah. Bonus points for that.
Quite jaunty.
Last thing I'll say on this, Em, is the fact that what Toy Story did so brilliantly is when it came back after such a long hiatus with Toy Story 3, the movie had actually completely changed from Toy Story 1 to the way that the adults actually found more enjoyment in the movie than the kids that were now watching it for the first time, because the jokes were more adult, the humour was more on point with the people who had actually grown up with that franchise. Unfortunately, this sounds like Bug's Life's just reduced itself down to the basic kid level again and is disregarding the nostalgia that the adults have for that film. So for me, that's an interesting thing that we might have to work on, because I like to see a bit of change and growth, especially over a span of like 20 years or something since the last film came out. So something to work on there, just as a note from me. Okay.
Actually, I do have one more question.
I sang for you. What else do you want from me?
So one more question.
We'll be here all night.
So basically, that was singing, was it? So basically, I'm interested in a new character, one that we can obviously, something like the Porgs in Star Wars, right? Something that we can really milk in the advertising and the trailers.
Queen Ant.
Yeah, something we can make lots of. Yeah, well, yeah. lots of money to be made. So have you thought about any any new characters, maybe like a friendly owl that for some reason is friends with them, or like an abandoned...
Not an owl after what
bird,
happened last
like
time.
A chick or something.
Not after what happened
no,
last
but
time.
It could be that it's like, you know, they might go, all right, well, typically we don't get along with birds because they eat all our mates. But this one, because it's
a vegetarian one.
Yeah, he's abandoned.
I hadn't thought about it.
So he grows up with them.
But what we could include is a frog, because I like frogs and they're a good animal for playing with.
No.
But no, I hadn't.
I think John's talking specifically about an owl.
I'm not including an owl. We're not having an owl in A Bug's Life too.
You need to be able to stroke it, not a frog or a snake
I'd
or a lizard.
I mostly envisaged like a really tiny but hench fire ant, which is Manuel, played by Dwayne The Rock Johnson, and all of his little mates who are a bit like, you know, I am possibly being culturally appropriating here, but they are all a little bit Hispanic.
Sorry?
Right. Fire ants are Hispanic.
Yeah, they are. Yes. Yeah. Hispanic fire ants.
Right.
Which is why the lead fire ant is called Manuel. And maybe one of the fire ants changes sides and learns to live in harmony with Flick and his 300,000 children.
I bet that one happens to not have a Spanish accent, though.
No, he has a very strong Spanish accent.
He might not even speak English, like the rest of the ants that are obviously American.
There is an option for you here, Emma, because fire ants are...
But we're not having an owl.
The fire ants are, like, they have a nasty bite and stuff. I get that. And I get why you'd see them as the bad guys in this. Have you heard of the yellow crazy ant? Because they are actually an ant that's, like, plaguing regular ant populations around
the world. I can't see your face. Are you being serious?
Yeah, they're called yellow crazy ants. They move around like they're absolutely mental. And they might be contemporary option for you.
Maybe that's A Bug's Life 3.
I'm concerned about this one, to be honest. So let's park the third one for now.
For a film with this many ants, I'm not sure it has legs.
Oh, hello.
Ew.
We'll leave that for the vote.
Shit.
Emma, thank you for your pitch. We will take it into consideration. Sounds like it's gone down.
No, not after
very
that last
well.
Comment.
There's no owls. No. That's all I'll say.
Right. Lucy, you've got an advantage here because you've heard the sort of things that the studio wants. If you need to make any minute, you know, last minute adjustments, to your pitch, now is the time.
No.
If you put an owl in there, John is going to go gaga for it, okay? So
I could do a switcheroo on a pet and make it an owl. Mm. I know it might fit in quite well, but in another way it wouldn't. But we'll see. I'm open to
don't pander to them, Lucy. Don't pander to them. You
well,
stick.
It's a collaboration, Emma. Okay.
There's a panda in there.
Panda.
Pandas win. They sell really well.
That comes in instead of the owl for sure.
All right, let's hear the film.
Okay. Just as a sort of prelude, the pictures from last time, I quite enjoyed how you did a little bit and then we guessed what it was. So I'm going to do that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Ooh, okay, cool. Yeah. Slagging her off already.
Yeah.
We open on a gaslit scene of turn of the century New York. The air outside is thick with fog. A train pulls into Penn Station. A young blonde woman and an older man step off the train and take in their surroundings. Alfred and Jess Borden survey their new home.
Oh
my God! You're not doing the best sequel of all time, are you?
ET 2
again?
No, it's fucking Prestige 2.
It's the Prestige.
Oh, Lucy!
It is the Prestige.
Don't do that.
Why not do that?
She's playing to the audience.
Well,
because you know I love the Prestige.
Nothing to do with you. Not everything revolves around your needs. It's just a good film.
Okay.
Ooh.
I mean, producer, yes, of course. Yeah. I'm pandering to you. Okay, so sequel to The Prestige. Working title. Now, this is the one thing I'm a bit stuck on. I don't really want to call it The Prestige 2. I don't feel that fits.
No.
The working title is The Turn, which is the second part of a magic trick, but I'm having some trouble relating that to the actual plot of the film. So maybe once you've heard it, we can kind of collaborate on a title, because The Turn is when the magician turns something ordinary into something extraordinary, which is kind of what happens in the film, but we'll see if it works. Okay, so the plot revolves around Alfred Borden and his daughter Jess starting a new life in the US. It's around 15 years after the events of The Prestige. Alfred's still played by Christian Bale, and grown-up Jess is played by Florence Pugh, who's one of my favourite. I think I just mention her in every podcast.
Oh, I love Florence.
Because I love her.
You cast Florence Pugh as often as I cast Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
I like cast her in the film of my life because I just think she's great. And she was in a film with The Rock that I watched last night as well. So I just love her. Now, another character who is in the original film in a minor but very vital role, who is going to be in this film a lot more and a main character, is Nikola Tesla. And he is originally...
Question.
Who's he playing then?
It can't be Bowie, right?
He's originally played by David Bowie, who's obviously no longer with us. He is a very hard act to follow, and for a much more developed role, there was only one person I could think of to play such a character. We're getting Daniel Day-Lewis out of retirement. So Daniel Day-Lewis is going to play the visionary Nikola Tesla. So we're in New York, turn of the century. It's around 1910. And I did do some research on what Tesla was actually doing and his movements at that time. I'm not going to go into it and bore you with it, but that is featured in the film, so it does match up. Just like with The Prestige, he was really at Colorado Springs doing experiments. We're bringing that into this film. So they're in the turn of the century New York. Alfred Borden is making money working in a freak show. He's just doing like minor tricks just to make money. Jess, his daughter, finds it cruel and starts to avoid him where she can. She's left alone a lot and she has a real interest in science. She ideally liked to go to college, but they can't afford it. So she reads a lot of scientific journals and becomes fascinated with the work of Nikola Tesla. At this time, he is officially working on bladeless turbines, and that's true, I looked it up, but he's secretly reacquired the transportation device from the first film, ostensibly to destroy it to prevent anyone else using it, but we'll see that that is not what comes to pass. So a chance encounter with Jess leads him to take her under his wing, and she assists with his experiments. As their relationship gets closer and more intense, she is pushed further away from her father and the grotesqueries of the freak show. He's suspicious of the time she's spending away and what she's up to. Throughout her time with Tesla, she convinces him to start work on the machine again and that it could be calibrated to transport rather than to duplicate, because at this time he was looking into ways to transport energy, like either through the earth or through the atmosphere. So I thought that fit in quite well. So together they start the experiments on transportation, culminating in a test on Jess's beloved pet miniature schnauzer. Now, this is where the schnauzer could become an owl, and I would allow that, John, if you'd like rather it be an owl.
Panda.
Or any kind of pet.
Yep.
So the dog disappears from the machine, and they hear it yapping from behind the door
yellow
to their
lab.
Yellow
crazy ant.
You could do a yellow crazy ant. She could have a little colony. That would fit in with her scientific ideals as well. So, yeah, happy with that. Yeah, the dog disappears from the machine and they hear it yapping from behind the lab door, and Jess is delighted and insists they try it on her next. Tessa's reluctant, but after she pleads and says you can have no breakthrough without risk and sacrifice, he agrees. Meanwhile, Borden returns home to see Jess, only to find her gone. He notices the paper she's been reading and, after scanning through, is horrified to see Tessa's name mentioned prominently. Putting two and two together, he rushes to the lab address listed on the papers. So he goes to the lab. Jess steps into the machine and Nikola pulls a lever. Borden bursts into the room just in time to see his daughter disappear. He screams at Nikola and pulls out a gun. Jess emerges from the door behind Borden and cries, "Father!" He turns to embrace her. At this moment, another Jess enters the room from a door at the back of the room holding a dog. What they believed was a transportation was still a duplication, but the recalibration, there's lots of Asians here, made the clones appear in the room behind the lab. So basically, they think they're gone. They're just no longer in the machine, but they've been transported elsewhere. In his shock, and in a callback to Robert Angier's reaction to seeing his clone after using the machine for the first time in the first film, he instinctively shoots the new Jess. Surviving Jess, full of horror and panic at what they've created, flees the scene. Borden confronts Tesla, demanding to know which daughter he has killed, the original or the copy, much like Angier in the first film, asking him which knot he tied prior to the wife's death from drowning. You remember the original? Tesla says he has no way of knowing, but that Borden should find his daughter before it's too late. Borden leaves, and the final shot is of Tesla staring at the machine, a look of fear and wonder on his face. Fade to black.
Okay. Okay,
so that's the
Lucy.
Beginning.
So that's the beginning. Then the film starts. No, and also we've got, so directed by Christopher Nolan again. The script is Christopher Nolan and his brother Jonathan. They did adaptation of the book for the first film.
Yeah.
And the music,
yeah,
bit lackluster in the original film. So we've got Johnny Greenwood from Radiohead who did, yeah, it is a bit. It sort of serves the film, but it doesn't has no impact on its own. Johnny Greenwood from Radiohead, who did the music on There Will Be Blood, he's doing it to give it a bit more atmosphere.
That is a great soundtrack, but I don't think you should be having a go at prestigious soundtrack. It's beautiful what it does, but, you know, that's... Okay, I've got some questions, Lucy. Now, look, I am probably... Maybe between me and Gaz here, the prestigious biggest fan, okay? So I absolutely adore the first film. I was extremely excited when I heard the start of your pitch because I was like, wow, I'm excited to see where this goes. I myself toyed around with an idea before ET2 to go with the prestige, and I didn't.
Should have gone with that.
I didn't do it.
Definitely should have.
I'll tell you why I didn't do it, because I couldn't find a reason that mirrored the intricate storytelling that Nolan did in the first film. And the reason The Prestige for me works so well is because it's told over a span of time between two characters in this rivalry, reading each other's journals with cryptic clues, interweaving storylines, a little bit of out of place narrative. So you're jumping backwards and forwards constantly. And the film is about misdirection, because magic, misdirection. The audience is constantly misdirected to the point of where the reveal happens. I remember my reaction the first time I watched that film, and I still remember my reaction in my partner and anyone else I've shown that film that has never seen it before. No one sees that coming. And that is what is fantastic about, even though it's in front of you for the whole film, it's an amazing moment. And that whole film is built on misdirection. This film, to me, although I love the idea of going to that world again and revisiting those characters, there seems to me a lack of misdirection and a lack of sort of complex narrative, which made the original such a hit.
I watched the original.
Now, that's not to say I don't like the pitch.
No.
That's not to say I don't like the pitch, Lucy. I like the pitch.
Film. It's a different kind of film. And I watched The Prestige again last night when I was working on my notes. It's very convoluted, and I think it's kind of, I didn't want that for this film. And I know Christopher Nolan is very known for playing with the narrative and the linear sort of direction of the narrative. He's done it in Memento. He's done it in Dunkirk. He did it in The Prestige. This is more of a period drama. It's bringing back Daniel Day-Lewis. It's more really about the relationship with Jess and Tesla. Like, he becomes a kind of father figure to her because she's alienated from her own father. So it's not, it's a sequel to The Prestige, but it's more just taking characters from that film and telling a new story. It's not about magicians. It's about more about Tesla and actual real magic of the science
of it.
With
that in mind.
Okay.
Lucy, does it then need to be a Nolan project? Because I think...
Ooh, interesting question.
I think if you're going to make this a period drama, Christopher Nolan might not be your man.
Agreed. I understand that. He has said previously, well, he's had quite a lot of criticism about his films not really having strong female characters. They're always quite based on the male world. So I think he did want to do something because the character of Jess is quite strong. She's a woman wanting to learn about science in an era where that wasn't really available to her. And he was interested in just revisiting the character and working with Daniel Day-Lewis as well as Tesla. Which
and
I
she has a pet owl.
She could, you know, she could have a pet owl at any point in the film.
She sounds to me like a version of Murph from Interstellar, which is,
I have not
also
seen
a character that loves science.
I cannot say that I've based
on
that.
As you can see in the background,
wow,
one of my posters. One of the greatest Nolan films, in my opinion. I absolutely adore that film. But yeah, it sounds like Murph, who is a very scientific young woman who eventually ends up, you know, being a very prominent member of the film. But he has got some track record there. But I'm interested. John, any questions? Any questions from you?
Yeah. So I think it's important to note, I genuinely think this is a better pitch than your first film.
Okay.
I actually think it's quite a brave film to make, because in reality, particularly where you've gone with Nolan as the director, other than the kind of the Batman trilogy, where he clearly had an idea as to where he wanted to start and finish, which is why it was a trilogy. He's more of a one and done man, and I feel like the Prestige is, it kind of ends as it needs to end.
Yeah.
At least in my opinion. Look, Daniel Day-Lewis is amazing, and he can do anything, and I'm sure he'd nail the Tesla role, but I don't know, it feels a bit, obviously Bowie's dead, so it's like, well, what can you do? It's a tricky one, because I actually think I'd be annoyed if they made a sequel to this film. Nowhere near as annoyed as if they did E.T. 2, but I don't know.
It's kind of almost inspired by the events of the first film, though, because it's not a direct sequel with all the same characters. But I understand what you mean. Like, it didn't. It's not a film you watch and go, what happens next? It is rounded off very well.
You're setting it in the world in which the events of The Prestige have happened. That's the link, right?
Yeah. Tesla's not aware of it.
Just to kind of underline it a little bit more, when we first came up with this concept, naturally, you look at films like Inception. Now, Inception is one of my favourite films, but there's no fucking way I'd pitch a sequel to Inception. No way. Even though I think it would probably be quite good, it's like, it's one of those films where the ending is like perfect. People talk about it, and it completes it for me. And that's kind of, although I wouldn't say I feel as strongly with The Prestige as I do Inception, it's kind of the same thing where it's like, I feel like that story's been told, but I get it. And as I say, I think as a pitch, it's pretty good. A fairly hard decision between two films now.
Yeah, I just thought having a story about Tesla that's not like a biography, but where he features a bit more prominently would be really interesting. But
Fire
Ants are also interesting, so it is hard.
Well,
I really like the title, Yellow Crazy Ants. I think it's very clever.
Does Working the turn time. Have any songs about recycling?
Yeah.
No, but about science, which is sort of the same thing.
Does Florence Pugh do a song about instrumental. Science?
Yeah, I bet she can sing. Okay. More all instrumental and atmospheric.
Yeah.
But good feedback.
Well, I...
Considered feedback.
No, it's good. I like the way that we've really grilled both films there, because this is close. I think this is going to be close.
Is it?
We're going to vote now as a panel about what film we think would... And everyone has a different opinion on this. Now, if you think it's because you think it's going to be more successful than the other one, vote for it that way. If you think it's because you just would rather watch it yourself, vote for it that way. You know, whatever you want to do. I sort of mix it into a bit of both. So I do a bit of like, would it actually be profitable in today's world? And would I go watch it myself? So that's the way I view it. Now, I had to go last when I last hosted this. And I'm not doing that again this time because it's not fair.
Not fair.
I always have to do that. I am going first this time, okay? And I'm going to summarise as thus. Emma, Bug's Life is actually one of my favourite Pixar films. It's kind of a forgotten Pixar film because it, like you're right, it was quite a long time ago. It's in that same sort of era as Toy Story where the animation was in its early days. If you actually go back and watch Bug's Life, you know, you can definitely see its early days Pixar. But the characters are there. It's a lovely, fun film. I think it's got nowhere near the depth that something like Toy Story has as an actual film.
They have only got little legs, the ants.
I know. So the idea of returning to that world now really interests me. However, your pitch did not really do what I wanted to do in terms of going back to that world, but with me as the audience in mind. Instead, you focused more on the younger generation, and I feel like going back to that world wouldn't necessarily... pique my interest as much as it did, say, in Toy Story 2 or Toy Story 3. Now going across to Prestige 2, titled The Turn, One of my favourite films of all time. As I said, love the original for the way it weaves the narrative in an interesting direction with two fantastic central cast members, a brilliant supporting cast. And I love the way that the story builds to a crescendo where you yourself have been misdirected. I kind of feel like, Lucy, your film is different. It can't have Nolan attached to it because it's just not his type of storytelling. It's just not. I can't see him directing this film. I know. I could not see him directing this film.
You're out.
But in saying that, what film do I think, in my mind, do I want to see more, and do I think would be successful? I think Lucy's pitch would, even though I don't agree with some of the things in there, I think it would be something I would rather see and something that I think honed correctly could work better. So I'm going to vote for Lucy.
Thank you, Len.
On this one.
Take your comments on board.
And that is my synopsis. Next up, I've snapped a, as in one of Nolan's other films, snapped a snooker cue in half or a pool cue and given each half to John and Gareth. Go on, fight to the death. Which one of you wants to go next?
You go for it, J-Mac.
Okay, cool. I'll keep it short and sweet. No, because, you know, I'm not going to drag it out. It is a tough decision, actually. And I think it's probably worth noting that I actually disagree with what would be more successful. I think a fucking Pixar film is going to wipe the floor with The Prestige 2. But I don't vote in that way.
Not if it goes to Disney Plus. Not if it goes to Disney
it
Plus.
It probably still
away.
Would financially, right. Yeah.
Yes, it would. A Pixar film with Dwayne The Rock Johnson in is definitely making more money than The Prestige 2. Anyway.
Oh, yeah, fair enough.
But as I say, I don't vote in that way. I'd love to say I have fond memories of A Bug's Life. And I did enjoy it in the cinema. And I was like, this is way better than Ants. That is shit.
Yeah, Ants is shit.
Yeah, that is shit.
But it is very... But do you know what? I think enough time has passed that can be revisited. And I think some of the themes there, certainly in terms of global warming and stuff like that, there is a film to be made there. This is the sort of decision... I know I said I was going to be short and sweet, and I will be. This is the sort of decision that is going to annoy both people. Because... I think Lucy's pitch is a lot better and a lot more thought out. I can't vote for a Prestige sequel. I just can't do it because it's
drama.
And I'll tell you one thing as well. There will be a film that I come up with at some point that is this exact thing where it's like, should it have a sequel? Probably not, but I'm still going to go for it. Anyway, so feel free to vote against me in the coming weeks when that comes up. I have to go for A Bug's Life too. As I say, Lucy's is the better pitch. No, but as I say, I was happy to go last or whatever. Like my decision was made regardless. But yeah, so I'll go for A Bug's Life too. And I genuinely think that would be a good film. It's Pixar, for fuck's sake.
And it falls on Gareth Evans, who is leading the table right now. Oh, no pressure, Gareth. If you vote for Emma here, then
I maintain
then,
my position at the top.
You stop one of your main rivals.
Political.
Well, maybe.
And that is how.
But
I
of
vote.
Course, you're not going to do that.
There's a lot of pressure here, Gaz, because you know when I voted against Len, everyone knew I was going to vote against him, but he'd already been trounced anyway, so it didn't matter. Whereas now it's like people are going to be
matters.
Very judgy.
I will maintain my integrity through this process. But you know that said, whichever way I vote, I think needs to be respected for the genuine reasons that I am voting that way. A Bug's Life is. I'm a big Pixar fan. A Bug's Life. Unfortunately for me, is one of the more forgettable films of that era. I have seen it. I have not seen it. I don't think I've seen it more than once. Probably saw it once. it's just not one that's kind of lingered in my memory. I don't have any great nostalgic feelings for it. So with that in mind, anything that you pitched, any idea, Emma, I was not going to be offended by. I'm soon to be a father, so I'm on the lookout for new movies for kids. And do you know what? If it doesn't give me warm nostalgic feelings, that's not a problem. If it's a good film for kids, that's great. I'm sure as it's a Pixar film, it will come with that kind of adult humor as well.
And a song about recycling.
And a song about recycling.
Don't forget the recycling song.
That said, The Turn, or The Prestige 2 in brackets for now, does include a song about science, so that's good as well. The Prestige is an excellent movie, and it's one of those films that when I say I've got like top five movies, there's probably about 12 films that fit in that link, but The Prestige is one of them. So
always in the conversation.
It's always in that conversation. I do love it, and I have very fond memories of that film. That said, I actually feel differently to John in that I would not mind at all if somebody proper wanted to get involved with this and make it a sequel. And I actually quite liked a lot of your pitch, Lucy. I agree with Len that there's maybe not the mystery and that misdirection that The Prestige had, and I would like to see more of that. And I think that the plot does need some tweaking, but I like a lot of what you had going for it. I'm not sure that Tesla can be a main character in this film, because to have a real historical figure doing things that they didn't do, I don't know. There are question marks over that for me. So it's a really tough call. But I think that there was a lot of thought and a lot of good ideas that went into The Prestige 2 and The Turn, including the title, actually. A much better effort.
Very good
on that
title.
Front.
Very good title.
Thanks, guys.
And
most improved title.
Most improved yeah. title.
Yeah.
Goes to Lucy.
Yeah.
There's your
I'm
bonus
the real
point,
there.
Lucy.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I am going to have to give my vote to The Turn and to Lucy Baron.
Thank you.
Well done. Guys.
Well done, Luce. That was an excellent
thing. Thanks, guys.
Well done,
I
Lucy.
Did try very hard and did quite a lot of research and watched the film again and did a lot of Googling. So, yes.
That,
need to get
that
a life,
is not a chore, but... Lucy. To watch The Prestige again
no,
is a joy.
It's not
and
a
now
chore.
I might go and do it tonight because I love it. So, well done to Lucy. Takes the lead in the table. Two pitches, two victories. Is it unassailable? Some say yes. Others say no. But we'll have to soon find out. Thank you very much. What is tradition in this show is to now reveal the next Titanic duel, and Titanic could be one of the films that you decide
Titanic
to pitch as a sequel. I doubt this will happen because it's Gaz versus John in about 4 to 5 weeks' time.
Ooh.
That is the next head-to-head.
Two most popular John fan critical members.
Oh, wow.
You know. Quite easily, actually,
at all.
If you look at the metrics.
Allegedly.
The two most handsome.
What metrics are you
looking
at?
We will be... There's metrics, don't worry about it. We will be trying to do our best to make our own worst of Netflix film.
So oh, yes.
Yep. Plugging the most popular podcast out there. Go and listen.
Check the metrics.
Enough shameless plugging. But I'm about to do more plugging. So yes, it's John versus Gaz. Thank you very much, boys. Thank you very much to Emma and Lucy for pitching today. Just some housekeeping, general housekeeping. If you have not subscribed to this podcast, please do so now. Subscribe to our main channel, Fan Critical. That would be incredible. If you are one of our lovely Patreons, or if you want to become one of our lovely Patreons, you can go to www.patreon.com/fancritical and donate some money to us. That money from our lovely, lovely really dedicated followers has enabled us to essentially create this whole new structure with new shows like this one and bring it to you guys on a weekly basis. So now we have a much more consistent schedule with consistent episodes. And of course, we're still doing our film and TV reviews. We just did Suicide Squad. Me and John did Black Widow a few weeks ago. Before that, we're going to do things like Dune coming up, which I'm sure is going to be incredible, as well as, you know, other breakthrough films that Marvel got loads coming out, so don't worry
just
about
finished
it.
Finished reading Dune
stuff coming out there is we're gonna probably yeah great book, great film, hopefully.
Give it a blueberry score, Dune. Gaz.
Three.
Yeah, I see. I think the problem with Dune the book, Gaz, just quickly, is that when you've got someone like Denis Villeneuve helming the film, and we know what he did with Blade Runner 2042,
2049,
what you're
going to
see in this film will blow your mind. But anyway, sorry, yes. We're going to get into all that in those reviews. But yes, please do support Fan Critical. Please do spread the word. We would much appreciate that. Leave a review, patreon.com/fancritical, all in the show notes. Check it out. Thank you to Emma, Lucy, Gaz, John.
Thanks, Len.
And you.
Cheers, Len.
Thanks, Len.
Thanks for hosting.
Yeah, no worries. No worries. Yeah, cheers.
Nice one. Thank
you, the listener.
Anyway. And thank you, the listener, for sticking with us, listening to these pitches. Hey, if you disagree with the panel's decision, let us know. Send us an email.
Yeah.
Send us a tweet. Reply to one of our social media posts. You know, do you want Bugs Life 2?
I've got to say, not enough fan interaction on these because, you know, you get someone going, oh, yeah, it was brilliant. It's like, what would you vote for? No response, honestly. And that's why you're blocked. No response.
Yeah, okay.
But we love you.
No, seriously, if you want ET2, let
that's
us
over.
Know.
Well, that's why we're not getting any listeners talking to us, because you keep saying that. If you want ET2, yeah, speak to us. Silence.
We don't, so.
All right, well, thank you, guys. Thanks for the pitches, and catch you on the next one.
Bye.
Laters. Peace.